this club's about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Sorry for smiling there.
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. And that's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we're bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How we doing? Manchester United, Thursday night football, baby. It is our destiny. Back in it. Here's how a lot of us feel. Let's go. Let's play it.
We got a quick hot mic to Ralf Rangnick. Presser, right? Hot off the presses from the presser here.
It's against Grossman and two fumbles. What did you see about the Bears? We shut them down that way?
The Bears are what we thought they were. They're what we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like it's bull? We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
Crown them.
But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
Thanks, coach.
Sir, how we doing? If Rangnick is that fired up after the game, I hope he is. I know a lot of Manchester United fans certainly are. Manchester United crash out of the Champions League, not that shockingly. Went up there with 4-2-3-1, Maguire ball. Didn't have that many chances. Sir has interrupted me already. What you got?
I got nothing.
Board ain't working. Nothing working. United, I don't know what you expected, but today we didn't get it, sir. We go out in a murmur, and that's probably about right at the moment, given the state of things at the club. Your boy, Darren Fletcher, getting a yellow. Technical director,
I don't even know what he is.
Sorry, you do that game to me all the time, bro. Welcome to the pod.
Number one critic.
But either way, sir, I would say get used to Thursday Night Football. Champions League, it's going to be a while. With this regime, with the Glazer ownership, I don't see it happening. I mean, maybe Chelsea fall like a stone. They're going to get sold at a fire sale, bro. Maybe sold to someone worse than the Glazers. They might free up a spot. But I think it's going to be a long time before we are back hearing those angelic voices instead of what we have planned for you at the end of this pod. Just a reminder of that Hans and Franz, baby, that music. Sorry, it's as bad as it was last summer.
By the way, it could be Conference League. There's a new thing called Conference League. So as far as we'd be begging for Hans and Franz at a certain point here, United, you know, you talk about that shitty game. You talk about the games that we have been through this season. And, you know, Alex, you actually went to the arguably the worst one, the Scouse Bastards that put the nail in the coffin almost with Ole, or at least started that whole process with Ole getting fired. This season, the longest, like, roughest season we've been through in a long time as United fans. It started with, you know, Moyes. You know, a lot of
you got all the way back to Moyes.
Yeah, you go back to Moyes, right? You know, embarrassing Olympiacos. You know, we had our moments there. Then you move on to LVG. You get a trophy, then sack him the next day. I like arguably Moyes got fired too soon. That was Ed Woodward. Then he arguably fired Van Gaal after like it started kind of working, although it wasn't the United way. You know, that Van Gaal ball isn't what we wanted to watch. So I felt like our standards have kind of lowered over time, and here we are with an interim manager that definitely affected his choosing of this lineup. An interim manager is not his job to, you know, put Harry Maguire in his place. Based on form, had to be dropped. Absolutely had to drop Harry Maguire. The interim manager can't just bench the captain of Manchester United, arguably the biggest game we had under his tenure. And so he's kind of walking that line between not creating too much controversy, and it cost us today. Harry Maguire has to be benched in this game. Then we decided to play McFred in front of him and protect him even more. By the way, if you look at the goal, Fred, McTominay, and Harry all not doing their job. Play through the middle of the park easy. Harry bites, and it creates the chance. Oh, by the way, Dalot, who's like the B team right back, isn't marking his man. We get beat. This lineup is not good enough to beat that Atletico Madrid side. We have better players than Atletico Madrid, but they play much better as a team. It was evident today. The better team won. and United, not good enough. All around, these players, the whole team, not good enough. Good 20 minutes. We had a good 20 minutes, but we faded. We couldn't keep up.
20 minutes doesn't win you a football match, and all of the problems. I'll leave it. Don't worry. There's plenty of time to blame the players. We'll get into that when we go through the 90s, sir. But all of the problems, and the same reason that Moisey was fired in 10 months, and that team that, you know, LVG was just given endless budget to build this, like, haphazard mess of a team. And then, you know, from the next, who else? The Portuguese came in, and that, we know how that went. Then Ole, and now Ralph. And it's the same old shit over and over again, because at the end of the day, the Glazers run this club. They put all the trust in Ed Woodward, worst chief executive in the history of the sport. And then the next guy is, like, his buddy-buddy.
And this is the result of his work.
It is, because look at that lineup, bro. Like you said, you make a very good point. I'm not going to argue against that. I think it's interim manager that has already hamstringed this guy, the German, Ralph. It's like he's less effective because he's an interim. Players, you know, don't respect him probably as much. They don't take his word for it the same much. And he doesn't have this gravitas to make the big choice, whether that would have made the game or not. But like you said, there's a reason Maguire's still captain. And I think at the end of this, when he did put on Juan Mata for Maguire in the 83rd minute, that was like, well, fuck it. This game, you know, I'm not getting the job anyway, and they're not listening to me anyway, so I'm going to finally just go for it and pull the captain. But that being said, sir, it's going to get worse. I think this season is going to get uglier. Like, Champions League is gone. So, right, how is Ronaldo going to treat that? How is Ronaldo going to act around that?
Oh, he's gone.
I know he's gone. But the whole point is, what's going to be brushed up between now and the end of the season? It's going to all of this noise, all of this leaking, all of this like players moaning, tweeting, whatever. It's going to get worse. So it's going to get worse before it gets better. And like the Glazers are literally just trying to like smoke and mirrors. Oh, we're redoing the stadium. We're redoing the stadium. We knew it. We knew that was coming. I thought it would come in April.
We talked about it on the pod.
So we're in free fall. We are literally in free fall, and we're like in an upstage. We're like impressed by how Arsenal's playing. We're like, oh my God, look at Arsenal. They really, but it's true because it's like, dude, we're falling apart, and it starts at the top. There's nowhere else to blame. And that pitch, watching that team play, dude, it's sad, sir. It's very sad.
It is. And, you know, first and foremost, I'm most disappointed that my prediction that we'd win the Champions League this season has finally come to an end. Lasted a few months, but you know what? I lasted longer than your EPL hopes.
That's true.
EPL title hopes. But, you know, it's a tough one for United. But if we're honest with ourselves, you know, you could say, okay, Tottenham game, that was very exciting. CR7, the hat trick, nostalgia, up and down, but it's Tottenham. We're getting up for beating Tottenham. We're giving away goals to them. Like, our back line's the liability. That is the whole issue. And then the way we decided to come out and play today with those players is like, we want to play high line, high press, Atletico Madrid at home with Harry Maguire at the back and Fred McTominay in the midfield. We've seen them get passed through by Burnley, let alone Atletico Madrid. And oh, by the way, you got Felix and Griezmann who can turn Maguire like no problem. I just felt like we didn't cover up our weaknesses today. That weakness being Maguire had to be dropped. You got to play Lindelof. You want to play the high line, you have to play Lindelof even more. Rangnick, he knows. The only thing I can think of is he just doesn't want to create more controversy on the way out, which is why he started Rashford way more than he probably should have.
Yep.
That's why he's starting Maguire way more than he should. But if you're going to play the high line, it has to be Lindelof or on. And then the argument comes, you can play Pogba and Fred in the two. That is what you should be doing if you're Manchester United and you have Pogba on your roster. I know you don't like Yagba or whatever, but if you're going to be Manchester United and you're going to go for it, you need to win the game. Another reason why you need to be playing the high line. You need to be playing the players that can play that way. Pogba and Fred in the two, and you have Lindelof and Varane, and they can actually bail you out of some of those tricky counterattacks from Atletico, and you can go for it and you can attack. But this lineup says we're winning coming into this game. I don't understand it. I think Rangnick really got this 11 wrong. It was probably the biggest 11 that he had to make. We played well to start, but eventually we were exposed for who we were, which is a shoddy defense and a bad midfield. And you're no way going to beat Atletico with that setup.
I mean, I think of all the people to blame, you could certainly blame Ralph. You know, were mistakes made today, of course. But like, this team wasn't going to win it because this team is full of a bunch of whiny losers that don't have what it takes to be Manchester United players, right? Like, DeLow shouldn't be on this team. McTominay should be a sub. Fred, arguably, like, is he good enough? Maybe. You know, Maguire, we know that'll be one of the biggest flops we've ever signed, sir. So it's like, I don't disagree with you, but like, I would have played Matic because I think when he came on, he changed the game. Yeah. And the end of the game is like, we've got a really overpaid, poor side of players that aren't going to be good enough to ever do anything.
Yeah, but you fire Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and you get Maguire and you get Fred McTominay in the midfield and it's not working. And Ralf Rangnick should know that. He has to know you're going to play high line and you got Griezmann and João Felix with Harry Maguire. Something's going to go wrong. And it did. And at the end of the day, that's on the manager because he's got to know better. It's like, I can understand us sitting back and trying to counter with this, but we came out trying to play high line, high press with this setup. That made no sense to me. He got it wrong. I know he's interim. I know the players suck. We can get into that in the game. But this lineup made me very nervous. And then with the way we started to play made me very nervous. And that's how it went. It went exactly that way. We couldn't handle it. And the subs were too late. Subs were way too late. The shithousery already started. 4 minutes of extra time, LOL. But a tough one for United. But we got to be pointing the fingers to the boardroom. Hashtag Glazers out. That's why we're in this shitty position. Ed Woodward really drove this club into the ground. We're just watching it in action. Slow motion car crash right here.
I mean, that's right, right? Like, you could certainly say that Ralf made mistakes today. Who hasn't? Who didn't make mistakes that was involved in what we saw on the pitch, sir? But at the end of the day, Ralf should have Darren Fletcher's job, probably, if not John Murtaugh's job. And what the fuck is Fletcher doing as a technical director? Full kit wank, like running up and down, getting a yell card. So you want to talk about like what Ralf should have done differently. What the fuck is going on at this club, sir? I mean, that's it. That's the heart of it. And we're a social media company, sir. It's like the Glazers are running this club into the ground and they're sucking every last dime out, sir, because whatever they're planning behind this whole, like, we're going to redo the stadium, they got something worse coming. They're selling the name and rights. It's like they're never going to stop until we literally push them out or the company, the club, is maxed out on its credit cards, sir, which we're approaching, as you know, and especially because it's only more likely that we're going to miss the top four and the $100 million check that comes with it. It's like, what's going to look like on August 1st when we don't have that check?
Quick PSA for the podcast. If you like the American Red Devils and you want to support this small-time operation, it's just me and Alex in the podcast bunker, which is a room attached to his garage. No heat, no cooling. We sweat in the summer. We freeze in the winter. We are for fans, by fans. That's what we want to be. You want to support us, check out our Discord community. It's amazing. Tons of Muppets giving you that biased fan take from the couch. Great banter on there. Also, we have our In the Know transfer source as well, keeping you posted all summer about the comings and goings for Manchester United. If you want to join Discord, click on the link in our Twitter profile. It's pinned to our profile. You click on that link, you jump into our Discord, meet a bunch of United fans. It is amazing. Also, check out our Patreon page. We don't have any ads on this podcast because we think ads suck. They break up the content. We want to be supported directly by you, the fans. We think that's the most authentic way to go in 2022. Check out our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We give away pin, sticker, scarf, shirts. We do a behind-the-scenes episode each month, mailbag, etc. You want more American Red Devils content, check out Patreon. Also, our website, blog content, it's kicking. Check it out, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Also, click on store. We got merch for you. Glazers out, scarves are out of stock. They're coming back in, but we also have our 2021/22 scarf there. Sir, football would be nothing without fans. Tribute to the great Sir Matt Busby. Tell about iTunes reviews.
Draping ourselves in history with American Red Devils. I love it, sir. Get yourself one of those scarves. Another great way to support the pod is write a 5-star review wherever you listen to this podcast, whether it be iTunes, Spotify, the like, and send that 5-star review to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mail-in address, and I will personally pick, pack, and ship some free ARD gear. Send it straight to your door. Great way to support the pod without costing a single dollar, and it goes a long way. So we got a great review from Ozzy, .006. Love the banter. The guys love United, and as always, Glazers out. So there's going to be a lot of Glazers out on this pod. You ready to put the sword in Champions League football once and for all?
We really support everyone listening this season especially. It has been a hard run. You guys keep us going. I mean, we're doing so many pods. It's insane. But, you know, we really appreciate the support, the reviews, everything. We have the best community. We just want to say thank you, guys. We wish this team could just get its shit together a little bit, because holy shit, it's the hope that kills you. I knew, like, you know, I maybe flirted with us winning for a second, but I knew that today most likely, you know, 80-20, we were bouncing out. I was just hoping there was a chance we could keep it to extra time, maybe penalties. I couldn't see us coming and beating them outright. And when I saw that 11, I knew it had to be 0-0 or 1-1 with a lucky goal, because it would take a lot for us to get through. Let's get into it. Manchester United 0, Atletico. We said that wrong. I have to give a shout out to our Discord community. There's a pod feedback channel there. They tell us when we're mispronouncing things. It's a habit we have on this podcast. Obviously, Atleti or Atletico. The lazy American pronunciation being Atletico, as we said. There's also Atletico Bilbao. We get a little confused here. So Atleti, they won 1-0, 1-2 on aggregate. Round of 16, you know when you're praying you get to get to the quarters, something has been is wrong with this team. Like, it's like it'd be a miracle. Like, you think we're talking about getting to the final right now. We're talking about getting to the quarters to then get absolutely just smoked by Bayern. It's like having a chance. It reminds me of like when we beat PSG, this amazing win. I like literally cried.
Annihilated by Barca.
Like, that's how low it is. Like, I cried. We made it to the quarterfinals, and then Barca absolutely just smacked us around.
So at least we
that's where we're at. We're like begging to get to the quarters, because you have to be realistic. We need a full reset. And you mentioned Arsenal earlier, and you look at what they did with Aubameyang, sir, your favorite name to pronounce on this podcast. It's like they had a toxic person in the dressing room. He was the captain. Arteta stripped him of the armband, and they literally paid for him to go to Barcelona, and that team looks to be playing really well. They invested in youth. They got rid of the bad juju in the locker room.
Who's running the front office?
Those are moves that heal the wounds. You get rid of players that are sour. You invest in youth, and they're building something. They're not great. They're not going to go on to win anything this season, but if you invest in that base and then you can bring in talent around it, I just see that as sort of the turning point for them, and as we're still crashing down.
Well, there's a level of acceptance where, like, Arsenal knew that the only way they're going to turn it around under that ownership is to do it the smart way, the slow way, right? But our owners are trying to, like, fake everybody out. They're, like, completely competent, and actually we're just, like, one signing away from being back in the Champions League and doing everything we want to be doing. Dude, but the goalposts have shifted. This club is, like, so poorly run. And as much as we want to talk about other teams, sir, it's like the healing ain't going to start until SOBs leave. And the thing is, like, I don't think they're leaving anytime soon. Because are they going to start getting rid of players that, like, aren't good for the starting 11, but, you know, sell a lot of kits and have a lot of Instagram followers? Because at the end of the day, I think they care a lot more about social media clout than, like, performance on the pitch.
I don't think the Glazers care pretty much anything other than the dividend and looking to see how much Chelsea is going to get sold for so they can comp it. At the end of the day, they're completely absent owners, and this is what you get. Let's look at that lineup again. I mentioned it. Deuce is rolled number one in net. You had Telles left back. He had a good game. Like Telles, Maguire, Varane center back pairing, Dalot, McFred midfield, Bruno in the 10. Alonga on the left, Sancho on the right, Ronaldo up top. Here we are, Ole Ball, Champions League, round of 16. How'd it go?
We are who we are, sir. You got really upset when you saw us 11, but I was like, this is what kind of team we are. My biggest thing was Maguire. You know, like, honestly, I think if Lindelof was there and then Varane is kind of the fulcrum for defense, or even De Gea would be, the team would have played better. But that being said, obviously, we know how today went, and 1-0 felt like a decent result.
Horrid lineup. I don't think I've hated a lineup more this season, honestly. Like McFred, no. Like Pogba, dropping Pogba to play McTominay and Fred in the middle of the park against Atletico, like, no. If you're going to go for it, you got to have Pogba in there. Bruno didn't play against Tottenham. Pogba's a controversial figure, but you're in the Champions League. He's a big game player. He's got to be in. Maguire, no way. No way he can start on form, purely on form. He's in there. I saw this. I said, no more Champions League football. Hans and Frongs, here we come. And look, we came out first half. I was surprised. I thought we were going to sit back a little bit, play counter because of this lineup. And then, boom, we're pressing. We're trying to do it right now. it's taken a few games for us to kind of get through this. We looked pretty good. Elanga with an early headed chance. Oblak, that was the player. I said on the last pod, you can't expect him to have another off game. 13th minute, Bruno puts in a good ball. Elanga's effort smacked him in the face. I mean, this one goes in when a totally different day. But these opportunities started fading. The question about this type of pace, you look at how fit Atleti is. They're so much more fit than United, and we can't just like decide to play high press one game and all of a sudden have the fitness to do it for 90 minutes. And that's what's happened. We kind of faded here. And 16th minute, De Gea calling the action. Amazing save here from our should-be captain, David De Gea.
Yeah, honestly, it was against the run of play. United did come out and look decent in the first 20 minutes. Doesn't really matter if you can't hold it up. But De Gea just called into like an absolute world-class save, scoops it out of the net. He always shows his worth, sir. It was just a matter of time before United started running out of gas.
Yeah, it was probably here in the 20th minute where Fred had that good move on the touchline and Bruno, the half penalty shot. He went down and boy, did he make a meal of it. But after that, Atletico starts getting into the game. 34th minute, this is when the warning lights are flashing on our back line and our midfield. You can't have that much of your team be a liability, honestly. 34th minute, cut open. João Felix scores. It's off. But that is like the alarm bells are there. They're ready to pounce. Like they weathered the storm, the home crowd, everything, and now they're ready to pounce.
And also, as you were saying, could have. I'm pretty sure this was on if they looked at it close enough, or if they wanted.
I was surprised.
If they wanted to call it on, they could have easily called that on.
So I really was surprised it was they didn't coming. Bust out the lines for that one. It was coming, and we can just go through it here.
And 48, it came.
40th minute. Here we go.
Gol de primera juega bien para João Félix que se va a meter al área. Tiene que frenar, va muy solo. El taconazo para Griezmann que viene con el centro al segundo palo. Renan Lodi.
I mean, we can watch it. We're, you know, you watch the replay. It's a simple ball play, quick 1-2 out of the midfield for Atleti.
It's called Madrid.
Yeah, I know.
It's called Madrid.
It's literally 1-2-3 gone.
And sir,
Harry Bott. Like, you want to talk about the issues in the middle of the park? I've seen Fred McTominay play together. And in the past, they've been able to lock it down. But for some reason this season, they're getting cut open. Those two cut open right there. Harry Maguire bit out of position and then open at the back. And DeLow, he's not, you know what I'm saying? As far as right back goes.
It wasn't his day.
But he's not a right back. He's not the right back for Manchester United. And you have Harry Maguire complain to the ref. But you talk about what's wrong with this team. You can't play. Manchester United can't have those two in the midfield.
But he knows it. Look at Ralph's face. It's like, dude.
It's horrible.
But yeah, like, he has no excuse. This is not an 11. This is like, that team, they just, what? They forgot how to defend? That is embarrassing defense. But we've seen that time and time again, especially this season. I don't know.
Then why do we play that way? Why do we start
him? That's what we got, bro. That's the 11. Because I know you're talking about Pogba, but he didn't do shit when he came on, bro. Matic did more than he did. So, like, I know what you mean, but Bruno at least had a couple of creations. And at the end of the day, dude, what's letting us down? Like, that defense? Can you believe how open that he was? And then, like, DeLow kind of does, like, a fainted half turn and just gets... So you can't defend like that. And I know there's a lot of blame to go around for those three players, and you're right, but like...
No, but if you're... The whole point about the midfield is if you're going to play McTominay and Fred, they got to lock it down and be defensively sound. Because otherwise you just at least have Pogba there because he's a liability. You know what I'm saying? And he can at least hit a good cross to attack. So it's like you got to – what are you giving up for? What are you getting? And that's where you're not getting – you play McFred, they're not even locking it up. And then, by the way, the back line's completely in shambles. The low completely off today. And that's probably the better point is Manchester United does not have a right back. We do not have a right back. And that he had the ball in a lot of key positions today, gave up the goal. And that's on the Glazers because they don't think we need a right back. You know, Kieran Trippier.
Dude, they're not willing to take it. They're not willing to take it on the chin once you buy a player and be like, this player's not working out. Like, they're not willing to take it. Like, that Maguire hasn't worked out. That, like, Fred or Matic, some of these signings, the fact that we have a 34-year-old Matic comes on, like he looked like if he could play 90, that could have made the difference. That's more impactful than a Pogba, sir. It's like he actually can split the lines in a way that McTominay just couldn't do. They kept giving him the ball, giving him space in the middle of the park and said, go for it. And his default was just to pass it right or left. And that's because we don't have a CDM. And you're right, we don't have a right back, sir. And it's like, dude, because our front office is incompetent.
That's what I'm saying.
Incompetent.
It comes down to the 100%, team assembly
100%,
here. 47th minute, Oblak saves a good shot from Bruno from way out. First half ends. You got to be pissed. Like a good 20 minutes, try to play a certain way, and eventually you're going to get exposed. The game's going to set up. Atleti said, McTominay, have the ball in the middle of the park. You won't be able to beat us. He couldn't. The press couldn't. The players aren't in shape enough to play that type of press. And you know what? It's a
quick second half.
It got worse. Second half, Elanga came out 5 minutes, had a good little session here. Elanga goes wide. Oblak, ready. He had a great game today. And that's the difference. 53rd minute, McGuire. Silly back pass. Liability, McGuire over here. Dancing around, then putting De Gea in a bad situation. He couldn't get it out. And then a shot on net. De Gea, like he did. 60th minute. Sancho, great chance. This was probably the one. Skies it, barely. I mean, it was a volley. He hits that.
Tough one. He played decent.
Extra time.
Didn't play great. He played, but that was a big chance. Elanga had a couple big chances, sir. But like you said, this was not the best Atletico side. It's not the best Madrid side. So like they didn't play that well, but they still played better than we did.
I think the issue is we can't say Atleti.
Studied abroad in Madrid. I can't say it, bro. You know me. I mean, if anyone that knows.
It's like, I just want to go thaw. It's like, so yeah.
Atletico.
We just can't.
Atletico?
So, yeah.
Madrid.
We have issues. Madrid. First, it could be just the pain CTE, of the loss, bro. Here. 66th minute, McGuire. Speaking of CTE, headbutts Ronaldo.
Yeah, that was.
Credit to Ronaldo. You just like played through it.
McGuire didn't.
68. This is where the subs, I think the 62nd.
10 minutes early, bro. 10 minutes early.
62nd, late 50s. He had to see it. It was dying for this. And then by the time the subs got in, we had Rashford, Pogba, Matic, Elanga, McTominay, and Bruno. By the time they came in, the shithousery started, and it was already, you know, barely able. Fits and starts of a game. 76th minute sub, Cavani for Fred. Look, the ref didn't have a great game. You can't blame the ref in this one. You got to be blaming the midfield. McGuire, Delo. I mean, like this part of the team that's just not good enough to play at this level. Like, you look at the middle of the park for Manchester United, you look at the middle of the park for Atleti.
How many times you say it?
Madrid.
Madrid. Call Madrid.
Before the game started, I said, look at Madrid's midfield. Look at our midfield. No way. There's no way we're going to be able to hang and not concede. Our back line's getting exposed. And that's where the game was won. We took Fred off, brought Cavani on.
Didn't play well.
Didn't play great. 78th minute. This was the chance for Ron. Great header. Oblak was ready for it. And then Mata for McGuire. Good to see Mata out there. He ran.
He did. He was going for tackles. Some heart. I mean, this is like the one where I was like, you know, Ralph knows he's not getting the job or a job. So he's
this
like,
this is a wet noodle FC. Nobody knew we were going to. We weren't coming back. We lost. That's the game. Yeah. We lose.
That's it.
We're out. Why did we ever think we were better? We are, we barely made it through that group. Skated by on like Ronaldo miracles, played shit the entire time. We played shit away at Atletico, and we played a horrible, horrid second half. There's nothing in this tie.
What do we have left to play for, sir?
No, but there's
not even a draft.
There's nothing in this tie that makes me think that like we got robbed by the ref.
No. We didn't play well.
We were...
The same team we've been watching for 9 months, actually, since the Villarreal final, sir. Ever since then, it's been a long, hard skid downhill, sir.
Beat them down.
Sir, but
it's
we
like
know
horrible
it's,
team,
dude,
horrible
what
players,
expect?
Baby bitches.
We expected
vintage
Manchester United to show up, and the same Manchester United we've been watching for 9 months showed up, bro. So it's like, shame on us. We're expecting more.
It is bad.
Yeah,
it is. Here's the thing. People come on. It's like Modric comes on, he plays well, but he's too old. But you didn't sign Modric's replacement. Oh, by the way, Camavinga looks pretty good at Real Madrid. Our
Every
right back is Delo.
Looks better.
Delo, AWB, who? I guess Delo, but that's the best option we got. Our midfield, we got nobody other than McFred. And then, you know, Bruno plays in the middle, and sometimes he tracks back, sometimes he doesn't. And that leaves the midfielders exposed, like McFred, who can't lock it down, but Modric can, but he can't play 90 minutes. And oh, by the way, we have the biggest wage bill, one of the biggest wage bills in the world of football, which is the whole situation where we're at, which with the Glazers is they got to hire someone in to get a hold of this fucking mess. You look at Fletcher on the touchline getting the yellow card.
Absurd, bro. Absurd.
What is he doing? Rangnick's like, I don't know what this guy does. That's all you need to know is Rangnick said, what's going on? So imagine Ralph Rangnick. You got to feel bad for him. This whole thing is a clusterfuck.
It is.
Murtaugh, Ed Woodward's number two. These guys are running the show. And look at what we're getting on the pitch. And the best part is that their philosophy is everything's fine. That's the real concern. Somebody who's the CEO of this shit show should come out and be like, we are going to fix it. This is how we're going to fix it. We're going to do a rebuild. And the way you do that is Arnold hires a world-class director of football with a great CV to come in and sort this fucking mess out.
And then quits.
And then he hires the manager.
And they all quit. They basically hire really smart people.
No,
and
you sell Harry. Like the manager comes in and the manager with authority comes in and says, Harry Maguire has gone to Hull City for $15 million. Getting rid of the players that are bad in the locker room. The manager knows he has the backing of the DOF. They know it's a five-year rebuild. They're doing something over the long term.
What's the likelihood of that happening?
It's very low, but we are in such a hole right now. That is what it's going to take. And oh, by the way, for the fans, this summer is the summer of protests because with no Champions League money, there's not a lot of budget to go around to buy players. I hate to break it to you. The club had to take $40 million on the revolver for December. We don't have a lot of money. Without Champions League, $60, $80 million net, that's all we're going to get. And by the way, we're going to lose Ronaldo, Cavani, Rashford, Pogba. There's Lingard. A lot of players that could go out the door, and we're not going to have the money to replace them.
And here's the best part. They're not going anywhere, bro. They literally, like, we talked too much about this team even beyond when we're not doing this podcast. We knew. I was like, they're either going to do a bullshit naming rights or something around the stadium just to cover air smoke. And the whole thing is, as long as they keep acting like everything's fine, we are fucked. Because, like, the whole point is they have to admit what they've gotten wrong. And they've never learned
everything.
They've never learned a single lesson from the mistakes they've made in the past. And that means that we are doomed to repeat them. Because, of course, if you never take a step back and say, damn, what did we do right and wrong this time? Instead, they just keep fucking like, hey, fucking Pochettino can pop this together. We'll get Harry Kane. They got nothing. They got no idea. They're not even committed on the next manager because they wanted to see if Ralph could get us through the next round. And maybe, we'll go with this one. He's probably pretty cheap. Like, so they got no idea what they're doing. And they're literally just like saying, fuck it. I'm almost impressed by how just like they're just rolling with it, bro. Because they are literally, you look at the financials, they are redlined. We are going to miss that $100 million check. Like, how are we going to look, sir? A lot of wages are leaving, like you mentioned, but that ain't even enough. That ain't $100
million. No, look, again, you're going to see, as far as Manchester United owes quite a bit of money from just existing transfer deals that they promised to pay in the future, and they're already drawing down the revolver. They're skirting by, and without Champions League football, the budget in the summer is going to be $60 to $80 million net, and they're going to be looking to sell a Rashford. That's where people are going to say, oh, Rashford's going to get sold. Oh, we don't want him. It's lining up for that to give them cover to do that because they actually do need the money to reinvest elsewhere in the squad. And the thing that kills me the most out of all this bullshit is, you know, they have no clue what they're doing if you do not sign a midfielder last summer or this January. They have zero clue in operating a football team that is top down. It's like, we desperately needed a midfielder and a right back. You need to sell DeLow. You need to sign another right back. AC Milan was interested. You got to get the deal done. You got to get another right back in because AWB is being questioned by Ole, right? You got to bring someone else in. And then the midfield has to have support, especially since you know Pogba's going to leave. You have to get that midfielder in. They did not do it. And you can see what the situation is at this team right now. In the middle of the park it's Manchester fucking United. Are you kidding me? It's unbelievable.
Sir, during our success, our prolonged success from the early 90s to the, you know, late 2013, which is called 2013, and then that was a wrap on our success. Sir, it was like, you know, we were just throwing money at the wall. You know, it's like, it was pragmatic buys. You would blow the bank out on a Rio, on a Rooney, when it justified it, bro.
It was like surplus. Like, dude, you didn't even need them.
Talk about our transfer strategy. Like, all the transfers, bro. The reason that, like, we didn't sign a CDM, we didn't sign another CB, is like, Phil Jones is still getting paid, bro. Juan Mata. Matic, 34-year-old. He's like, he's actually the best CDM we got, bro. It's like, who else? Andrew Herrera left on a free. Paul Pogba was going to leave on a free after we re-signed him for £89 million.
No, but it's the fact that Matic is getting old and Pogba was going to leave and you need to replace both of them and you should at least get one
point.
Of them in.
There's 20
and then this summer,
the summer
and, but
there's
they're never
going to
sign two. The whole point is you're not getting two this summer. It could be a Matic re-up again and then one. No, but that's what I'm that's the type of there's such stopgap shit with this team that it comes down to it. You need heavy rotation. You need a deep bench, and we don't have it. The youth aren't ready. We got too many old players that were just hanging on these one-year deals, and then in the middle, you got McTominay and Fred, and they can't play every game, and we're not bringing in anyone. By the way, there were cheap midfielders last summer, cheap midfielders in January. Take a punt, and this... That's why, we're just going to wait for the new coach. We're just going to wait for the summer and watch them bottle this shit from here to kingdom come. So this is just going to happen.
So the whole reason you own a football club is a money transfer from like the fucking asset you bought to your family and your shithead kids, bro. It's like you can't admit that like, fuck, we fucked up.
They spent money. That's the problem.
I know,
but
they
spent money.
They pissed it away with poor leadership and poor management.
No, but the whole issue that I have is like, yes, they have spent money. The problem is it's a poor organization that does not know how to invest in players, doesn't know when to sell players, doesn't know when to buy players, doesn't know how many squad players you need relative to big money players like Paul Pogba, doesn't know how big money players like Paul Pogba who check out affect the dressing room and affect other players. The idea of running this team top to bottom is in shambles. But at a certain point, you got to cut your losses with certain players, sell them, do deals, invest in new players. And there's too much work to do. All this kicking the can, the midfield kicking the can, the right back kicking the can. And this summer, you arguably need six players. You need a nine. You need two midfielders at least. You need a right back. You need a center back. That's five right there. We are not getting that this summer. No chance we're getting that in the summer.
No. I'm not worried about players, bro. It's like, who's our manager going to be? Who's the director of football? Who's taking Matt Judge's job? I agree. We need all these players. We need to sell a lot of players. But, like, big picture stuff, bro, what's changing in near term? What's going to make our footballing experience more enjoyable so we can enjoy this team week in, week
but
out?
It's about the rebuild.
No, of course.
They're not going to do it.
The rebuild's never going to happen.
That's what I'm saying. There is no rebuild. It's just
a can kicking. It's like, literally, they just keep kicking the can until they run out of pavement. And I think they're going to run out of pavement soon because if we miss top four... So that the PN, you know, their balance sheet's a mess and like they're not going to get more money. And it's like we have very little means to be able to effectively build back this team to a position where they're going to be competing for Champions League titles, finishing comfortably in the top. Sir, we're not
competing.
It will never happen competing. Under this ownership. It will never happen because, like you said, they already spent
thirsty.
They already spent $1 billion. They wasted $1 billion. They're not going to waste another billion, bro. They're
I'm
done.
Thirsty.
They're
sir.
Tapped
I'm
out.
Thirsty.
Bro. They're tapped out.
I'm thirsty for trophies.
And by the way, they spent $1 billion. They just took it out of the left hand and paid it with the right hand. It's like they were extracting money from United. It's a fucking leverage buyout, right? It's
they've
like,
they've extracted $1 billion, but the whole point is if you give this lot another billion to spend, they're going to misspend it.
Yeah, they
and
are,
that's
100%.
That's the issue, and it really comes down to the board's priority is revenue, which Woodward succeeded in growing. Now, you can talk about, is it really that hard to whore out a great brand like Manchester United? Probably not. Like, I probably could have done that. But they're focused on revenue, so he keeps growing revenue, and they're kind of ignoring the fact the football team is just cratering, and we don't have players because none of the Glazers give a shit about football. So to them, everything looks great, and Woodward's like, we got you. We're doing great. All the fans are going to love it. Look at this. Look at the Instagram likes on re-signing Ronaldo. We're good. That is how this club is run. And Richard Arnold, I have no, based on the conference call we heard, sounds like he's going to be towing the Ed Woodward line. They've never made a mistake. And we're going to be stuck in this washing machine cycle as long as they're at the head of this club. And they're appointing numpties like Richard Arnold who say that we have a world-class footballing organization, top to bottom, sir. We have world-class talent.
So why are they going to throw out Ralph Rangnick with the bathwater, bro? Why are they gonna like peace, bro? Why are they gonna like wish him adieu in this summer, because he's the kind of guy that is not going to sugarcoat shit and tell the entire media landscape how great of owners we have and how much of an unbelievable football operation he inherited. It's like, no, he's going to be like, this place has real work to do. He's talked about it in the interviews. That's why he's not going to get the job. That's why he's not going to have influence at this club, unfortunately, moving forward. Dude, because they want yes men, and they got one in the form of Richard Arnold. They got one, unfortunately, for a player I really used to enjoy watching play in Darren Fletcher. Dude, they're all like, sir, I know you like throw him out quick.
You know what?
Sir, he's a yes man, but it's time to
call out the people that come back and suck the Glazers' teat and enable this shitty ownership, you know, and it's time for people to start calling it. And because this club is, look at this case study, a decade in absolute ruining one of the greatest crown jewels in world football, that is Manchester United. It's offensive, the amount of Europa League football. This is where Tottenham, as far as Europa League football is concerned. You see Real Madrid, you see Bayern Munich. Obviously, Barcelona will probably have to play some Europa League. But, I mean, come on. Like, it's like 1 year maybe, and then they fucking figure it out. United is like, we are a Europa League team. That is what we are, dude, at the end of the day. And look at how much money these numpties are making on the field. It is absolutely embarrassing. We're the worst run team in world football. 100%. And as far as like Darren Fletcher, he's a part of the problem as far as I'm concerned. They're all part of the problem. They want to go back and get checks from this. He should be leaving and then telling everyone how fucked we are. That's what he should be doing. If he actually cared about this team, he should be airing the dirty laundry about how bad this ownership is. But those toothy NDAs that everyone signs, like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer signed this NDA for that $10 million check when he got fired, he can't say shit. That's how they get you. They lock him up with these NDAs and these fire payouts. And we're not going to hear the real until Jose Mourinho writes that book. I cannot wait. He's going to write that book. He's going to kill him. He's going to kill the Glazers. Book,
bro, because even Fergie held his tongue, bro.
Of course he did.
They all do.
Yes, I know. Fergie's biggest crime is he's on the Glazer payroll, and he didn't come out. Nope. And say it like it is.
He covered for their
Elks.
Of course.
Yes, he covered
for their
Elks.
And you know what? It's not just Darren
Fletcher.
It's the only
criticism I have of him.
Not just Darren Fletcher. It's all the fucking players, the former players that go and get paid by Manchester United to go on MUTV and pretend like all is well. And we are at a top footballing corporation. Sir, we're not.
That's why we have us.
It's not their fault, sir, at the end of the day. It's like you can say the same.
I couldn't do it.
You can say this. I know you couldn't do it.
If Manchester United called us today.
They're not calling you to do it. But like Gary Neville, like he's shilling the same shit. And I know in the last year, he's changed his tune, bro.
He has changed his tune.
Of course he has, because it became convenient for him to now be like, I'm going to call shit on it because it's gotten so bad, sir. But it was bad in 2010. It was bad in 13. It was bad in 15. It was bad in 17. It's bad today, bro. And it's going to stay bad. And you're right. We should call out the blame. But like, sir, this is going to be, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I think we just have to keep the heat on the Glazers. Harry Maguire is just
It's about saving this team. It's about this club that we love so near and dear to our heart. That means so much to us that we're watching just burn in a dumpster fire right before our eyes. And like, we have to start asking the right questions and start holding the Glazers to account. And that's why I think this summer is going to be huge for United, because you're going to be disappointed in what these people try to sell you, which is like good for this team, because I can't, it would require 7 out, 6 in, huge summer, and we've only seen them be able to sign like one big money player and not do a lot of deals. That's basically been this team, right? So I'm curious how the front office is going to cope with this turning the Titanic here.
And how they
that's what
do
we
it.
Need. We need a rebuild. We need a full, do it from the beginning, get rid of these guys, bring it up. That's
what's
what
a Glazer rebuild look like, bro? It looks like Declan Rice and Harry Kane and Maurizio Pochettino, so get ready for that.
Exactly.
That's what they're going to shovel down our throats. Structured deals, those two players over 5 years, bring in Pochettino, yes, man. This ain't changing, so we have to just focus at the mofos that are in Florida just like laughing their ass off to the bank every time a dividend gets like shucked out for them on, you know, at the sake of this club, sir. That's where we got to be pointing the blame. Otherwise, we're just like yelling in a room.
We are yelling in a room, but this is a situation that I do feel in some ways, like seeing Maguire, McTominay, and Fred start this game, these issues that we know that we had that haven't been addressed, just continues to fester. And frustrating part of it doesn't look like it's going to be fixed. Let's get back to finishing the recap of this horrific match. That was a hell of a tangent, but like, fans want to know, where's the rebuild going to come from? And my biggest concern is I see a situation that needs to be burnt down and built up, and we shall see. Shots for United against Madrid here. I can't even say it. 11-8. Shots on target, 5-3. Possession, we had more of the ball, 61% to 39%. For only the third time in his Champions League career, Cristiano tonight played 90 minutes and had no shots on target. That was rough from CR7, who just had the hat trick against Spurs. But something tells me Madrid is better than Spurs. Manchester United have been eliminated from their last four Champions League knockout stage games. This physically hurts to read. Manchester United have been eliminated from their last four UEFA Champions League knockout stage games when drawing the first leg, doing so against Real Madrid in 12-13, Bayern Munich 13-14.
Remember that one. Oof. Remember
Sevilla.
That. Also remember that. Oh, goddamn.
And
tough.
You know what rings true? Mourinho's comments after that Sevilla.
Yeah.
He said, Manchester United is not a big club in Europe. And it's like, you know what? We are not.
We're not when we're run by the Glazers, sir. So
I was mad when he said it.
The focus is at the top, sir. He was right then, and he's still right. And until all the fans are just saying it doesn't matter who the next manager is, it doesn't matter what happens to Rashford or Maguire or McFred. It's about who owns this club, sir. That's it. That is what it's got to be all about, because otherwise, just rebuild. Sir, rebuild 4.0, bro. This time we're going old English. Harry Kane's turned 30, bro. They're going to sign him for like £100 million, and they're going to shovel it down our throats like it's great for us.
All right, let's check in with the manager, Ralph Rangnick, here. Let's see what he had to say.
We dominated the first half. We played exactly the way that we wanted to play that game. Be always on the front foot, keep the game in their half, being aggressive. Could have scored one goal for sure when we hit the crossbar. Had another one or two good moments, but in the end, unfortunately, we couldn't convert that energy into scoring one or two goals. And if you then concede that one transitional moment shortly before halftime, this didn't make life any easier for us.
All right, that's all we really need to hear from Ralph Rangnick. But I think the better analysis came from in studio at BT Sport, Owen Hargreaves, Paul Scholes, Rio Ferdinand, about the situation at Manchester United at the moment.
Team would love to be.
I'll be honest, I thought Atletico were bang average. I thought that they were there for the taking. If United would have played better in the second half, I thought they were poor second half, really poor. First half they played well, but they were still down. I thought Atletico Madrid had the quality players at the top of the pitch in João Felix and Griezmann, which decided the game. But I didn't think they played great, but they played better than United, especially in the second half. And I think for United, when you thought, you know, this crowd was expecting, we were all expecting, and then it just fizzled out, just went flat. So many players out on the pitch that could have decided the game.
But it goes flat. They contribute to that.
Oh,
the way
naturally.
That they play, they slow the game
That's
down.
That's what I mean,
They're
yeah.
cute in the way that they play. They're clever in what they do, and they make it hard for you. But then you, as a team, attacking players on Man United's side, they have to find a way then.
Yeah, but really, it's like they never watched Atletico Madrid play before. You know, we know they're going to sit in and everybody's going to be on the box. Why you just keep whipping balls in for them to cross into head? At some point, you've got to link and get them out of position, get in behind them, get runners, get the ball from wide position. Every time the ball went wide, it just got whipped into the box. Scholes, he said it, Savage and him, and it just kept heading everything out. There wasn't many clear-cut chances in the game, was there?
They are not a better team than Man United, but they've got a better coach, a more experienced coach who knows how to get results. If he was coaching Man United go through that game. In my opinion.
And instead they managed one shot on target in the second half when they really needed to turn it on. And now the conversation has to become about the future, doesn't it? It has to become about the coach. And they have to do it now. Sir Alex Ferguson famously said, you can't lead by following. And it just feels that this is a club that is following at the moment and it needs to start leading again.
Yeah, listen, I think behind the scenes the club will be doing their work in trying to find the next person to come into that hot seat.
Oh, he's fucking
but it's not easy. The managers that you'd probably want are all in jobs and sitting there. So you've got to navigate your way through that. But that's part of football. And that's that.
All right, we got an ad. Sorry, you sound pissed
I'm
off.
I'm ready, bro. So they're just as culpable. Like the fact that they're just talking about the next manager, like that's they could bring... They can bring Pep over, sir. You think Pep couldn't win with this fucking lot?
He would need half a bill.
Yeah, he'd need half a bill and need a very confident front office.
In the past, you've got to find the right person.
This is Man United, already. They should be able to get whatever manager they want.
Yeah, not Man United now.
Yeah.
Whatever manager they want.
Yeah.
You don't agree?
No, not at the moment, no. I think there's so much work to be done here. I understand it. As Man United, the emblem, it means so much to us. But in terms of if you're looking to come here, it's a great project to be a part of because you're starting from scratch, basically. But I still think that there's other clubs that managers will go, you know, I might want to go there because the heat ain't on, the pressure ain't on, the spotlight ain't as big.
Yeah, but these big managers thrive on that. There'll be a big manager out there who'll be desperate to come here and turn it around. It's a big challenge for them. And there's big managers out there. Look, we can't talk about Guardiola and Klopp. That's not possible. But anybody else in the world should be available to this club.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing when you look at United is the fact, when you watch Manchester City play and Liverpool play, you know eight out of the 11 players, you know how they're going to play. Eight will play really good, one will have a worldie, and maybe one will have play poorly. For United, at the moment, you don't know who's going to show up and be that eight consistent players that you need to play at that level. That's why the United team that we played on, the Scottish player and I played on, you knew that. You had eight guys who were going to give you seven out of 10, and you had one player worldie, Ronaldo. And I think for United now, you don't have anything you can go, that is a guarantee today. Whether it's defensively, whether it's in midfield, whether it's in wide areas, whether it's an attacker. At times, you have moments where Ronaldo wins your game, Jadon wins your game, Bruno wins your game, Pogba wins your game. But there's no blueprint. You know, you watch City and Liverpool, but it's always the same. It's always the same. And I think for United now, you look and you think, you're hoping, but it's hope.
I think that's the difference between this team, the two teams today. The Atletico team, they had a group of reliable men who would have gone.
Look, some legends talking about the issues of Manchester United. They're going around like we are, you know, Hargreaves hitting on the point. You know, we don't know who's going to show up for United, really, and on any even given day. Even our top players, I do agree, Pogba, Bruno, Ronaldo, Sancho, who's going to win you the game, you know. People go hiding, and then you don't have that spine that you can rely upon, and this is the type of form you have, right? You're beating Tottenham, losing the City, losing the Atletico, no consistency, and it's tough to watch. Tough watch, and the solution, you get paid a lot of money to turn this club around.
I mean, the important point is Scholesy, bro. Scholesy's making the important point, which is like, if this club had a shit together, they'd go get any manager that they can get. The best manager, other than the two managers that are taken, they're not going to move. And he's right, bro. And the reason we're not going to do that is because that is expensive.
Exactly.
It's expensive to go get the best sporting director, the best DOF, the best coach. It is fucking expensive, and it costs a lot of money for City to do it. And I'm sure Arsenal and the Scouse Bastards, like, they spent some money in order to get smart people in, bro. And that's what he's talking about. He's like, why aren't we spending the most amount of money to get the best people in? Because the people who are running this club, bro, don't give a shit. And they're not worried about spending the most money to get the best people. They're worried about just covering their tracks for as long as possible. And that's really it.
This one's going to sting for a long time.
Get ready.
Let's get into the news here. United in the news. Manchester United reconsidering plans to redevelop Old Trafford, sir. Just weeks after I said that they would be spinning some story about this because the money ain't there and they're not going to sign the players. Here it is. They got the big stadium deal. And by deal, I mean there is no deal. They're talking about
monitoring,
kicking off phase one of the project, which is establishing a vision for the objectives of the master plan. So they're talking about coming up with a plan. And that is apparently good enough for the fan forum. Clearly, Old Trafford, legendary stadium, amazing stadium. Love it. Has some issues, needs to be modernized. There's a lot of things like concourses, etc. they want to add. They're going to feed you a huge line of bullshit, probably give you a nice sparkly design. It doesn't matter because they do not have the money to pay for the stadium. Now, you talk about their debt on the books. The net debt has gone up. Their total debt has gone up because they just drew down the revolver, extra $40 million. They need that to get through December, arguably one of the more profitable months, so it's not seasonality. This club has not gotten back to kicking off that $150 million, £200 million pounds of cash each year. We're still coming back from COVID, and we don't have the coffers. We had $300 million in cash coming into COVID, and right now we only have $80 million. We haven't been able to add that up. Stadium is going to cost $1 billion-plus. The club cannot raise more debt. The debt-to-EBITDA ratio is maxed out, as is. And without Champions League football, that does impact EBITDA.
they don't have the money. So it's got to be an outside financing coming in. So either more revenue and more debt. So they could name the stadium, but that's not going to be enough money to then borrow $1 billion. The Glazers aren't going to put money in. They only take money out. There's no way that I can see they're going to pay for the stadium. They're not going to personally, the Glazer kids are not going to personally put money into this team. And they've already hoarded out the brand max amount. They've already levered the club max amount. They're not going to be able to add another billion in debt. They only make half a billion in revenue. It's just not going to work.
Not to speak.
Sir.
If I speak, I am in big trouble. In big trouble. And I don't want to be in big trouble.
Sorry, I almost missed Mourinho.
Show me the money.
No, but here's the thing.
Show me the money, sir.
I mean, shame, dude, if anyone takes this at face value, shame on them. It's like they're liars. They've been lying for 20 years. They're lying about this. I thought it would come in the form of them selling the naming rights to the stadium in a last cash grab before they freaking sell
the
club.
Not enough revenue.
I don't disagree, sir, but I'm just saying it's like this is just noise to cover up for the fact that we're not going to spend any money this summer. So I would get used to more of this, sir. It's like they're going to just keep throwing nonsense. And it's the job of the guys we just played in the studio, and it's the job of us, and it's the job of all y'all listening in to like keep the pressure of the people that matter. Because it's like, this is just more smoke, bro.
So they could realistically, you know, so say they get back to normal, say we make the Champions League, you know, we're kicking off $200 million EBITDA. They could easily put $1 billion on the balance sheet in debt. But we already have half $1 billion, so that's only $500 million. That's not enough for the rebuild. Stadium rights, how much is that worth? 10-year deal, say it's $600 million in revenue, but that's not, you can't really loan against that. So you're talking, the finances just don't work to get you to the stadium deal. And so, you know, there's no public financing in the UK for stadiums. So there is no money. I could get to half, like if the club turns around financially and we make Champions League, and somebody is feeling like we want to max it out even more, you could get a couple $100 million in debt, not enough for a stadium deal. There's no money for this. That's like gravity for this club. Like, there's just no money. So this is nothing. This is a nothing burger until they show us the financing.
The whole point is, though, this was picked up by every major journal.
They're pushing their
major paper, bro. And it's like no one ever like, well, they don't really have the money to do it. They just put it and say they're going to do it, and that's it. So that's a problem. That's what we're fighting against, bro. We're fighting against people that aren't really calling it out because at the end of the day, sir, the journos in England are very
poor. Know. And they're just
take whatever they're given and just regurgitate it. So
they think by somehow towing the line for United.
This could be right, though, bro, because they want access to power.
To what? These idiots? Like,
yeah,
I mean,
idiots. So we can get, like, ready for this? You think your summer's going to be bad? Wait for this.
Next bit of news. Manchester United examining fresh Harry Kane transfer approach after suffering Erling Haaland blow. This one kills me inside because it just goes back to shitty not being able to sign Haaland. I'm signed Kane last summer, and then now Pochettino, Harry Kane with a little bit of rice looks very possible. I don't think, first of all, we have 60 million, 60, 80 million net without Champions League football. So there is a chance we can make Champions League football still in the league. We're rooting for that. But you're not going to get more. We need prospects. We need young players. We need multiple signings. We need to sell. We need to be rebuilding. Harry Kane is not the solution. Have we not learned anything from these deals? He's soft. He's as soft as they come.
He's old. He's old. They're going to overpay. We're negotiating with Levy, bro. Levy's a pain in the ass. We've learned that the hard way. Also, are you fucking deaf?
I don't think this is not happening. This is not going to happen.
If we get Poch, I can see this happening, bro. Because they're going to be like, nobody wants Harry Kane.
No, we're not going to pay what Levy values it. Apparently, $100 million wouldn't do it last summer. Yeah, so then $100 million.
He's appreciated an asset.
No, but I'm telling you, $100 million wouldn't do it last summer. $100 million isn't going to do it this summer.
I bet it would. Now they take $100 million because he ain't, dude, his shit stinks more than it did before. And also, like, City, just because City didn't get a chance to buy him doesn't mean we should. Just because, like, they didn't make a mistake by paying over the odds doesn't mean we should make the same mistake because,
it's
like,
Levy would charge $100 million with a year left on the deal.
Because we're run by Muppets, bro. Muppets. This is who we should be signing. This is who we should be. This is the club we should be like hovering over like vultures.
That is
honestly because this is where you like make your season. You want to like have a real change. Pick up Tuchel and pick up three or five Chelsea players.
If there was something to cheer you up, the Chelsea meltdown continues. Abramovich BBC story talking about how all this cronyism in his past, and you know the whole like Sibneft corporation that he bought for like hundreds of millions when it was worth like $3 billion, and then he sold back to the government at an inflated price, and how this Chinese competitor sent a representative to try to buy it, and he was kidnapped when he landed in Moscow so that it could the deal could be done to Putin's man, who was Abramovich, who's really sitting on the cash for Putin. That's kind of how it works. So if there was any doubt, he's an absolute crook. The club's in shambles, and the most amazing part of it is Tuchel hopefully is up for grabs, but our board is not daft enough to wait. Right, the idea about Tuchel is he said he'd finish to the end of the season, and I don't think United's going to wait that long. They're going to want Hag or Pochettino earlier. I think we're going to miss the bus on Tuchel. I just don't see our board being that, like, this guy's available, let's get him at all costs type of situation. They're just going to try to do the cheapest option, you know, hide behind that and just try not to ruffle any feathers. That seems to be what to do. But this is the move. If I'm running Manchester United, Tuchel's the man.
You go all in.
Going all in on him 100%.
You do everything you can to
exactly
use this stabilization of Chelsea against them and also pick up a great manager. So, but
and players.
Thing,
and
like,
players.
I want to kind of think of like the, yeah, the players most
Kovacic, Conte.
Conte, Rudiger. Mean mugging Rudiger, bro. Tuchel, you want Tuchel? Take get their front office, the Russian one. She's a killer, bro. Literally. The whole point is, sir, is like if the Glazers are sold to a competent bunch of owners, that'd be the move. You'd be like literally circling, like Rangnick is your DOF, and Rangnick would be like try and get Tuchel, and then we'll go. If we can't get Tuchel, we'll try and get somebody else. But like, sir, cheap. They're always gonna follow the cheap option. What do the fans think?
Let's jump into fan questions. I'm sure it's going to be a spicy bit here. At Mike United Mets, he gives us a little history lesson here. 13-14, we made it to the quarterfinals in Champions League. 14-15, no European football. 15-16, Europa League. Last 16, we got bounced. 16-17, we won Europa League. 17-18, last 16. 18-19, that was the quarterfinals with that big comeback with PSG. Got bounced by Barca. Then we went to the Europa League semis. Then we went to the Europa League final, and then we just got bounced. He says, under the Glazers, without the greatest manager to ever live, we are a Europa League team. Our club will be bled dry before our eyes until they are gone. The rot starts at the top. Hashtag Glazers out.
That's it. And it will. It's not going to stop until they get, you know, they sell the club. So let's focus on that. But in the near term, you know, USA, bro, big games coming up next week. I can't wait for that.
Whew, hold on. At Rolling Deep, 1995, pain. It genuinely hurts. We need to cut players who aren't ready to put themselves on the line for the club. We did so well in the first half, but we're absolutely abysmal in the final 10 minutes of the game. Sad day. Hashtag MUFC. It does hurt. You can hear it in our voices. We're kind of losing the plot. It's just this season has been too much. It's been too much to end like the way to end the way it's ending. It's just it's like a slow motion car crash. The interim manager failure. Like, it's just everything about it is just Harry Maguire, the whole thing. It's just you couldn't write this. You couldn't imagine it going like this bad from the summer. At Jamal Mota, sirs, quote, cue the excuse factory. The ref, Madrid falling, wasting time. Simeone and his skinny tie. In the end, the back four, including Maguire, is leaky and nowhere near good enough. Need full clear out. Good thing our friends Hans and Franz are holding up the VIP table for us.
Savage.
They are holding up
see,
the VIP.
Yeah, more Hans and Franz shout outs. Because hey. By the way, that music's coming at the end of this pod.
At United Dondo. So that's basically the season now. We didn't play terribly. Madrid just wanted to, just did what they set out to do and won 1-0 with while falling about. We need a rebuild now and it sucks. Going to be a very interesting summer. With a lot of moving parts. Now, the thing about the rebuild is you got to trust the owners, and I do not. And that's where I question even getting back to the Champions League. At Ty Kircher, I loathe La Liga clubs. The ref was quite questionable. We know they're going to spend 90 minutes with all their shithousery, and we're going to play right into it. I don't even want Europa League. If we don't finish top four, give me eighth. Hashtag Glazers out. Wish I could say I was surprised, but I'm not.
By the way, we're getting Europa League.
I know we are.
Yeah, I'd love to skip those Thursdays, but we're going to Uzbekistan, baby, and you're coming with us.
The silver lining of Europa League or Europa Conference or whatever is that you can play young players. Now, I believe that the managers to date for Manchester United have taken those tournaments too seriously. They should literally be to play Hannibal, Alanga. Like, we should be playing kids and getting them time. I think that is how we should be using those competitions. We should not be using our top players unless, you know, you get to a final like we did against Villarreal. Then you play the number ones. At T. Zolski, with nothing left to play for, not that I have faith, but it's time to worry about the future. Give me Erik ten Hag with Ralf Rangnick in an advisory role. No Europa, just the league to build the team. This club doesn't have the depth to play extra games. Hashtag Glazers out. Oh, this is, we're going down.
Keep going.
At MJ Fitz, dark days. Next manager really has to rebuild this club. Anyone could be gone. I completely have lost any affinity for all of these players. I agree. I mean, Rashford came out. It was horrendous.
Let Josh just stick a dagger. This one looks... They're all fucking brutal.
At JDW300, full 90 minutes of effort, crisp passing, urgency. So that is something. Maguire and McTominay did too much back passing tonight, though. Now the real issue was the ref. Any 50-50 calls are waved off or went on. Cannot believe the goal stood. Shithousery is fine, but none went for us. Oh, my God. Ah, oh, so the ref, everyone's kind of blaming the ref.
What the fuck is that? Sir, I love football. I love this club. We're laughing.
Oh, my God. At AB underscore man 99, Sevilla, Villarreal, Atletico. We can't beat these average Spanish teams, sirs. And if we're lucky, we'll be in Europa League next season.
Okay. By the way, if we go to the final, we're going to that final, bro. We're going. I'm dragging you.
All right, we're
going
to finish to MMABAH 13. Quote, thus ends Champions League football. Hans and Franz, here we come. Cannot believe we got bounced by shithouse fucking SC. Gutted. I think that's how we all feel today. We're gutted. It's always darkest before the dawn, and apparently it's getting darker. It's like they just did.
Light's going out.
Light,
baby,
was coming on a little bit. Then daylight savings went back. It's dark. Manchester United, these are dark days. Let's get that green and gold scarves out. Let's get ready to protest the internship. We got to be serious. We got to be organized as fans. That is what we need to do this summer because, you know, Richard Arnold ain't going to save this team.
Nope.
I hate to break it to you. Housekeeping, as far as podcast goes, this next coming weekend, we are going to be doing the U.S. Men's National Team Takeover Preview Podcast. U.S. Men's National Team, big three games for qualifying. Mexico, Panama, Costa Rica, and that's it. We are hopefully going to the World Cup without having to play that playoff game, but it's going to be just as nervy as watching Manchester United versus Atletico. We're going away to Mexico, going away to Costa Rica, and playing Panama at home, who are the fourth spot. Not easy for the United States. We could have dealt with this earlier. It reminds me of Manchester United leaving it late. I have a feeling I don't want to see... The United States has to qualify for the World Cup, but this is going to be an interesting set of games, big games. So it's getting bigger if you're a football fan. U.S. Men's National Team, this is it. This is the crux of the biscuit.
Well, thankfully, the United States men's national team are in the astute hands of the experienced manager at the helm with a 39% win rate before we... Oh, sorry. Wrong manager. Yeah, we got Berheffer, bro. And if Berheffer is taking us all the way, we'll see. But
no, I just
this is his
qualify.
Job this weekend. Do big games, but we got a really bad manager there as well. So
no, it'd just be nice for the U.S. men's national team. We're kind of the opposite of Manchester United, where they're playing really well.
Suffer from many of the same
ills. You can have like a little bit of that,
suffer,
but instead
most
you're getting
of
more
the same
of the
ills.
They're actually very similar.
Very
ills.
Similar, bro.
So yeah, that's going to be huge. We're going to have our boy Mike back on the podcast, the resident expert. Break that down, watch those games, enjoy it. And the United will be back. I'm pulling up the schedule here. We got Leicester City, April 2nd, Everton, early wake up, 4:30 a.m., April 9th, Norwich, April 16th, and the Scouse Bastards, April 19th. Leicester looked horrible against Arsenal. That would be interesting measuring stick. Everton, Norwich, relegation bound. Then Liverpool, Arsenal, big games up for United. So again, this break could do us well. Let's hope it does us well. That's what we need.
By the way, he said that time just got set, bro. That's
oh my God.
That's another 4:30 a.m. for the Arsenal.
This is a
game.
Record for the 4:30 a.m. wake-up
call. Sorry,
it's
that season, bro. This season's been hard.
Exactly.
It's been a hard season.
That's it for the podcast. You like the American Red Devils, please support us on Patreon. You check us out, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. Click on store, grab some merch, write a review wherever you listen. Goes a long way to support this podcast. We appreciate you guys. You're the real MVP if you're listening to this heartbreaking episode about us getting bounced at Champions League. Goodbye, angelic voices. We played it for the last time last pod. We had a feeling. Give me those top downloads last 7 days.
I'll tell you what, we had a feeling. We were right. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Elka, Nevada. Number two, Pontevedra Beach, Florida. El Paso, Texas.
Let's go.
Jersey City, New Jersey. Denver, Colorado. East Orange, New Jersey. Hamburg, Germany. Aurora, Colorado. Let's keep going. What we got? Maghull, UK, and last but not least, Prior Lake, Minnesota, sir. Appreciate all the American Devils listening week in, week out, sir. It's been a hell of a year, and it might get worse before it gets better, but at least we have this to look forward to.
Sir, what do you... You hear that? Oh, God. Hans and Franz, turn it up.
Let's
we
go,
got
baby.
The VIP tables, Europa League. We're back, baby.
Win it all, baby. Win it all.